How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp here. It's The Hump for November 27th, 2024. We have some big Fightful Select stories to talk about today. It was Ricky Starks Day yesterday, and boy, do we have an awful lot of Ricky Starks stuff to talk about. We were at the forefront of this story from quite literally every angle. I've got a lot of insight on this that is not out there as of yet, but we got Jimmy Van here with us, the author of The Storytelling Salesman. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Sean Rossap. Happy early Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm going to spend the next. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was telling Sean off the air, I know that that's like a really big one in America, much bigger than it is for Canadians, I think. So I was asking, are you watching football all day? But no, you're a busy guy.
Yeah, I'm going to be going back home tomorrow. Next day, I fly to Charlotte, then drive to Winston-Salem. The next day, I drive from Winston-Salem to Charlotte, fly back to Lexington. I might be able to catch the end of Survivor Series. We have a great team covering that, by the way. James Lynch on the scene. We've got the Collision team and Phil Lindsay doing a post show. Phil's been doing numbers for us lately. But then Sunday, I drive back to my old sinkhole hometown and do another Thanksgiving there. Travel's pretty crazy. Guess what I'm doing next Tuesday, Jimmy?
I can't even imagine. Watching NXT.
No, absolutely not. I am going to Louisville to do watch a screening of Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin.
That's it.
Yeah, he does a Q&A afterwards. I am very excited for that.
He's a big wrestling fan, Sean.
Yeah, he is. So, I mean, listen, there's going to be a lot of people there. Don't know if I'll get a question in, but
yeah,
maybe I'll get one in. We'll see.
Very interesting. Very interesting. He's one of the, you know, you don't hear about too many child actors that like came through the other side unscathed, and he did. So that should be fun. I know that Home Alone is one of your favorite Christmas movies. I can't believe that National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is not in your top 10. Have you ever seen Christmas Vacation?
Yeah, of course I have. It's okay, massively overrated.
Oh, I love it. I love that movie. I don't know. I got to disagree. Let me do my weekly book pitch and then we'll get to the big story. So The Storytelling Salesman, it's available now online, wherever books are sold, Amazon, Indigo, Barnes & Noble. It offers tips for anyone looking to improve their situation at their job or managing people or running their business. And we're going to be doing a book giveaway, I believe, later today on our Twitter account, which is @StorySalesman. So check out our Twitter account. You can also get it from the Fightful shop, shop.fightful.com, and from the book's official website, storysalesman.com. There you go, Sean. So you want to get into the Ricky Starks drama?
Well, I mean, also there's this.
Oh, thanks for putting that up after my pitch. I appreciate it. So like I said, storysalesman.com. It's available online now, wherever books are sold. Check out our Twitter for the giveaway @storysalesman.com. Or not storysalesman.com. It's Twitter. Just @storysalesman. And I hope people like it. People like it.
It is good. It's very good. But Jimmy, I'm interested in your business acumen and feelings on what the hell happened yesterday. So, oh boy. How do I even start? Jimmy, I was sitting down to have a nice dinner.
Okay.
And I get a phone call from someone at GCW, and they're like, Ricky Starks got pulled from our show. Or they said shows. And I said shows. He's on one show. And they're like, nope. We were going to have him wrestle twice next month as well, or twice more, including Hammerstein.
Yep.
And I said, oh, boy. Well, a lot had happened over the last 4 days. So for those that didn't know, Ricky Starks, who has not been on AEW TV since March, when he, I believe, suffered a stinger which was okay. He was okay immediately. And there were some people that felt some way about that because there were a lot of people that knew that he didn't want to team with Big Bill anymore. He was never really that like high on doing a team, but he did it. He had months before that let AEW know, I would like to basically wanted them to, it was the Josh Alexander thing, wanted them to not pick up his option so he could explore the open market. And I believe he let them know this well ahead of time. And they were, you know, baffled because they had him in a program with Punk around that time. He had a great match with Brian. And then what they did was they picked up his option, which normally, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with. You've got people for this contracted amount of time. However, subsequently, he has not been used. He has not been featured. He has not been injured. And to me, that just seems spiteful. Mm-hmm. I'll make sure to mention when it's my opinion as opposed to objective news. But they did pick up that option, and his deal goes through part of next year. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, broke that news yesterday. But he cuts this promo at GCW, and it was a great, great spot. I don't know if you saw it, but they did a show in a mall, and they show him coming down the escalator of the mall with a Louis Vuitton bag, like he just happened to be there shopping. Mm-hmm. First off, I respect the fact that he found a way to make that Louis Vuitton purchase tax deductible. Respect to you, Ricky Starks. I really like that. But he said that he's been frozen out, which is accurate. He has been. He's been willing to go to work. There's a lot of people that look at the Danhausen thing, the Ricky Starks thing, and they're like, well, why aren't they coming to work? They work there. If Tony Khan tells them to come to work, they're coming to work. That's mm-hmm. the long and short of it. And we'll compare and contrast all these different situations. But then he's backstage at AEW that night. We broke that story as well. Danny Cage had even mentioned it on his Instagram. Danny Cage of Monster Factory. I heard he got along with everybody there. And then I broke the news about his contract, and that same day he had an hour-long plus interview with Chris Van Vliet. And listen, when you do, if Chris Van Vliet farts into a fucking tuba, it's gonna go viral. I mean, obviously that's gonna go viral, but anybody he talks to is gonna go viral because he's done such a great job with that platform, and Ricky is an interesting figure.
It'd probably be such a respectful fart, too.
It would be. It'd be the kindest fart into a tuba you have ever heard. That Pixar dad looking piece of shit. just to clarify, I'm joking because he's such a nice guy. He might be like, what did I do? But Ricky Stark's interview goes crazy. You know it's going crazy. By the way, guys, send in your super chats, Humper Chats. I forgot to mention that. Get your questions or statements read on the air, humperchats.com. Sorry, I digress. So, man. I get the call, Ricky's been pulled. And immediately I thought, well, they're probably mad about the promo or something he said in the interview. So I run the story. GCW quickly confirms it. Obviously came from within the company, got a good relationship there. And then I get a call from, I'll say AEW. And it is straight up like, okay, you want to know why? Because I had already inquired why. They said, look at what Effie said about Tony Khan's father. And nothing like that had hit my radar, which made me be like, well, is our team sleeping on the job? Like, what's going on? But I know Jeremy Lambert ain't sleeping on the job because Jeremy Lambert never sleeps on the job. So I ask him and he goes, well, here's the only thing that I remember hearing. And he said it was so unremarkable, didn't even bother transcribing it. And I was like, there's got to be something else. So I call Effie. And I met with a hello, because like I've not talked to Effie since we had our match. And I'm like, what'd you say? He's like, I don't really think anything. And he was looking and he found the clip, and it was the clip from his weekend at Effie's show where they were talking, he and somebody were talking about AEW running Hammerstein Ballroom.
That's right.
And he had said something along the lines.
I got the quote, Sean.
Yeah. Please run the quote.
Yeah. So he said, now we should note, like you just said, I don't believe that Effie intentionally went in looking to take shots. I think that he was just kind of spitballing because he was frustrated about. So GCW booked Hammerstein first, and then AEW announced three dates coming right after. And so he was just frustrated as a talent. And so I don't think he was, I don't think he meant ill will, but this is what he said. He said, AEW has no buzz, no draw. He said, GCW can't run on a $40 million deficit and continue to run shows. But some of us have the privilege of being able to run at a $40 million deficit. And he said, Brett, meaning Brett Lauderdale, the promoter of GCW, doesn't have a dad who pays him to stay away. That's what he said.
That is correct. And that is the comment that was effectively given as the reason for Ricky being pulled. I was told by AEW that Ricky can still work other indies. I know Effie was, listen, a little defiant, but also like, I can't believe of all the things, that's the thing. Listen, that it got to be real. If you're Effie, you're probably like, well, this is probably good for my career. GCW, this is the biggest commercial for their shows that, you know, tickets weren't moving as fast as I'm sure they would like. It's a giant commercial for them. Unfortunately, you lose Ricky Starks, who understandably a little frustrated by this. But Brett, I know, and Brett did a show with Body Slam that I want to shout out because they did a full interview with him immediately. And it's the Game Changer Weekly podcast. They did an immediate thing where he talked about his relationship or lack thereof with Tony Khan. And that is true. Like, they have met one time at a UFC show in Jacksonville, very briefly. I can tell you, Brett told me something so nice that Tony Khan did for a GCW talent that is one of many similar things that I have heard that Tony Khan has done for talent. And like a thing that he absolutely did not have to do. But Brett looked at that and said, you know, I thought considering some of that, like maybe things were, you know, a little bit better or maybe on the up and up, but they have never talked. He, you know, was hoping to extend an olive branch and be like, hey, listen, this isn't Effie's show. If it was like Big Gay Brunch or something, like maybe you could at least point the finger, but Effie is a talent on that show. Mm. I want to try to separate my opinion from the factual news reporting, because here are the facts as presented. Ricky had that week, cut that promo, appeared backstage at GCW. I broke the story about his contract. He did the interview with Chris Van Vliet where he spoke candidly about his AEW absence and said that he wants to be on TV. That night, he is removed from upcoming GCW appearances. I'm told by AEW it was because of the Effie comments, and their line of thinking was, okay, you're saying that he's paid to go away. We're not going to pay this guy to show up on your show then. And then everything that has unfolded since, and Ricky is allowed to work other indies. So those are the facts as presented, and I want your thoughts on it, and then I'll offer my thoughts because this is what a wild situation. I don't know whether to call it peculiar or unfortunate or whatever. It's a wild situation is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, given the timing, given the fact that the AEW decision was made yesterday, the day that the Chris Van Vliet interview came out, the day that you announced the terms of Ricky's contract in terms of when it's expiring, the fact that it came out yesterday when the Effie podcast was like a week and a half ago, I can understand. But I mean,
Jimmy, I'll say this, sorry to cut you off. How many times have you not been aware? You asked me about a situation personally that happened with me 2 months ago yesterday.
Sure, sure, sure.
So you weren't aware of that as well.
No. Like I see both sides of it. I see both sides. What I'm saying is, like, I saw a lot of fan backlash online against Tony Khan and against AEW because of the timing, right? Of the interview dropping and all that stuff. And then he's cut from the shows, but I see both sides of it. And so I want to kind of explain both sides. So on the one hand, like you said, it looks like it, you know, might be spiteful. The optics aren't the greatest. Like I said, the Effie podcast came out over a week ago. And since the Effie podcast came out, Moxley was on GCW, Rhea Shafir, MVP. They were on GCW on Sunday. But like you said, it's possible Tony didn't hear about the podcast. I'll admit, Sean, I wasn't aware of the Effie podcast until yesterday.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I mean, I knew that he had a podcast, but
right.
Yeah.
But that particular one, I wasn't aware of it until yesterday. And Tony's a busy guy, so it's possible that he didn't hear about it until yesterday. So it does come off timing wise, like it's because of the Chris Van Vliet interview, but we don't know that for sure. But let me say this on the other hand. And I understand that Effie is not Brett Lauderdale. He's not the promoter of GCW, but Effie is a mainstay guy there, right? GCW being able to have AEW talent on their shows, it's a privilege, not a right, because the AEW talent is contracted to AEW. And so it's a privilege when you can have a Ricky Starks, a John Moxley, an MVP on your shows. I understand Effie being frustrated with the Hammerstein Ballroom thing.
Yeah.
But you got to be smarter than that, because this is your promotional partner. Like I said, I don't think Effie planned it out. I don't think he meant any harm. I think he was spitballing based on frustration. But if I'm Tony Khan, and if I see a mainstay from this company that I'm giving my talent to, he didn't just say anything about his dad. He ripped the company because he made the comment about they have no buzz, they have no draw, they can run $40 million deficit. If I'm Tony Khan and I see that, I'm yanking my talent. Like, I mean, I am, but the question is going to be, does it stop with Ricky Starks? Is Mox going to keep appearing?
That's the big question. Like, right. If all AEW talent isn't pulled, which I certainly don't want to encourage, well, it certainly seems like something pointed towards Ricky, especially. And I got to say this, like, there's a lot of people that are comparing a lot of situations. You know, there's Danhausen, there's Penta, there's Phoenix, there's Miro. There's a lot of people. So let me break down the differences in those, because of everybody, I know that there have been some people that had issues with Ricky Starks and say certain things about him in the company, people that I respect, but he's probably been on the best behavior of anybody. With the Danhausen thing, he and Tony had a very spirited conversation last year. And there was definitely a situation where they felt like he didn't want to work Saturdays because he wanted to work indie dates, because he told them, hey, I've got a family situation. I want to handle that. And then he worked indies. And he would be the first to tell you, I could see where that was misconstrued. Miro and AEW have not been on the same page creatively. There are plenty of people, like, depending on which side you ask there, that are like, well, he don't want to lose. Well, that's part of the job. Penta and Phoenix. Listen, man, Phoenix has injury time. That's worked into his contract. That's a condition of the contract. Extending that injury time and not using him, well, that's certainly frustrating. We broke news about Penta's contract this week as well in Fightful Select. His is way different, because when you still have 4 or 5 months on your contract and you're actively telling people, yeah, I'm going to WWE. I told them I wasn't going to go to NXT before, told them that me and my brother were a package deal, etc. Like AEW at least heard that Penta was doing. Well, you can't expect them to take that lying down, you know? So a little bit different. Ricky Starks has not went out there and buried the company. He has not. I mean, I can tell you this sincerely. I have reached out to Ricky Starks like 15 different times about what's up with him, his contract. He ain't told me shit. He was so tight-lipped about it. Reps, tight-lipped. They didn't want anything emerging. They didn't want a reason, an excuse for AEW to hold anything against them. And this, him getting his option picked up and then not being used at all, and then this, seems pretty pointed to me.
I agree with you. Now, I have a couple of questions I want to get your opinion on. And a lot of this is based on, so I posted about something about Ricky Starks on Twitter. I didn't say his name. But what I basically said is, if you're a wrestling promoter and if you have somebody under contract for a period of time that you don't intend to resign, wouldn't it be smarter to utilize them in order to elevate other talent as opposed to not using them at all? Because when their contract expires and they go somewhere else, say presumably NXT or WWE, wouldn't they be a bigger deal if they've been sitting out for a year as opposed to you've been using them to put over other talent first? So wouldn't it make more sense for you to utilize them to elevate other talent? So here's my first question. Do you think
this is increasing the lore of Ricky Starks?
Yes, exactly. By not using him. Do you think there's a chance Starks was pulled because he's going to return to AEW television?
if that was the case, they didn't relay that to him yesterday or at any time throughout this week. There were some people in AEW that were like, man, we should really use this and turn this into like a Matt Hardy 05 thing. Because how often do you get that natural thing? Sorry. I mean, sometimes that's my job to kind of put out that information, but there were definitely people that were like, okay, that could be the thing. If I were AEW and I lost CM Punk last fall and I lost Kenny Omega for a year in December, and then I lost Sting in March, and then I lost Bryan Danielson a few months later, I would be wanting to put Ricky Starks on my show. I would be wanting as much star power as possible. And like, listen, it can't be that he is like some incredible headache that is impossible to deal with, because there have been other incredible headaches, like people negotiating things into their booking that should just be, no, you work here, you're doing this.
Right.
And this happens all over wrestling. It's not just AEW, but like, I'm baffled by this one. And I even tried to mention to the person from AEW that I was talking to about this. Effie does not run that show. You're hurting GCW for sure, but you're helping Effie by doing this. Like Effie?
Mentioning his name, yeah.
My God, this is... After I had a star-making performance with him, by the way, you are only helping this guy and increasing his visibility because he's going to be trending on Twitter after this.
So I believe that Ricky Starks has addressed this, but again, I want to relay to you some of the stuff that people have asked me on Twitter. He has the reputation of being difficult when it comes to creative. I believe Ricky Starks addressed that a while back and said that he did not refuse booking, like some particular booking. Have you heard of him having that reputation of being difficult when it comes to creative?
A couple people have claimed that. And you know, there were people in the company that were like, oh, did he really have a stinger, or did he just do that to lose? Because I think they were supposed to win that match. But there's a lot of political things at play with that, because there were people that are like, oh, he turned down creative. No, that's not what we reported. Mm-hmm. We reported that he said, please don't have Big Bill lose to me. It will not help Big Bill. And I'm like, if you're shooting down the type of creative that is like, I don't want to win this match, That's you know, a pretty good problem to have there. Now, I'm not backstage. I don't hear everything. Mm-hmm. So when people say, oh, they're difficult to work with, et cetera, I can only say what I hear. And yeah.
So when I said on Twitter that they should use him to elevate other talent while they've got him, one thing that a lot of people said to me is, what if Ricky refuses? Like, what if he refuses to put people over? And my answer
to
that is,
he's not refusing to lose it to anybody. As best right. I know, he's not refusing to come to work, anything.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if AEW went to him and said, okay, here's what's going to happen. We're going to bring you back to TV, and you're going to, you know, work a match with this guy, and you're going to put him over. You're going to work a match with this guy, and you're going to put him over. And if Ricky was to say, well, I don't want to do that. People ask me on Twitter, what does AEW do? My answer is, you cut him loose. Who cares? Who cares if he signs with WWE? You know what I mean? With all due respect to Ricky Starks, he's not CM Punk. You're not losing your biggest draw. So you bring him back to elevate your other talent. If he doesn't want to do it, you cut him loose. Like, it's not the end of the world. And one other question I wanted to ask you, Sean, and it was actually Ryan Satin that asked me this. He said, okay. He said, if you do this, if you bring him back to elevate other people, aren't fans going to complain you're burying him on TV? And my answer to him was, but people are already complaining because you're not using him. They're going to complain regardless. They're going to complain if you're not using them, and they're going to complain if you're burying them. And guess what, Sean? If you bring them back and put a belt on them, people are going to complain about that too. So don't worry about Ricky Starks. Worry about your company and worry about the talent that you plan to focus on. You've got, 6 months left, whatever it is on his contract. Bring them back. Have them elevate talent that you want to focus on. If you won't do it, you cut them. That's it. It's not that difficult. That's what you do.
Yeah. This was, there's just so much here that I'm just like, man, wish this would have went a way different way. Now I know that Effie's line of thinking here is, okay, well, when we ran center stage, we had, or when TNA ran center stage and we wanted to run it, there was a 30-day period before and after where we couldn't run because of competition. But right. then AEW stepped in and ran Hammerstein.
Right.
And like, listen, I like Effie a lot, but it's like, okay, well, why didn't GCW enact that?
That's exactly that's what Effie said.
Yeah.
That's what Effie said. He said we should have had it in the contract.
They should have, she should have had it. Can't yes. be mad about people running it. Man, on the shindy level, when I was having my first matches, we ran into people in Portsmouth, Ohio that got mad that we were running the same town as them. Right. So this is prevalent along all levels of wrestling. But they didn't have that. AEW was going to run Hammerstein anyway. It wasn't like they looked at GCW and said, well, now we got to run Hammerstein. It's wild. Let's hear from our sponsors real quick. We'll get back and answer some super chats and humper chats.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Make sure you guys check that out, guys. Very happy to work with NordVPN throughout the remainder of the year and into next year. We've got the Fightful Awards presented by NordVPN. Very, very excited for that. Let's answer some of these super chats and humper chats, some of which are about this. Bear Hudson says, thank you, Sean Ross Sapp, helping me navigate this emotional journey as my dad faces heart failure. Your openness about your grandmother's experience and that process has been incredibly comforting. Being open is not easy. Listen, man, I existed in a situation that not only took my grandmother from me, but took two of the people that I was closest to for the majority of my life away from me because of how they acted throughout this situation. So, man, approaching that with the right demeanor is very important for yourself and your family. And I hope you're doing okay for sure.
I want to chip in one thing. People that follow this podcast will know this. When I lost my father and my sister, I put together documentaries on both of them. Nothing fancy. We brought together their family and their friends. We interviewed them all. We had them all talk about them. And if you have the ability, even using your cell phone camera, because they're pretty high quality now, you should look at doing something like that. It really helped me kind of deal with the grief that I was dealing with at the time. And in the case of my dad, I was able to show him the footage before he passed. So just something I wanted to throw out there.
Early predictions for the women's IC and the UC and our US inaugural champions. I think Natalia should be the IC champion because of the history with her family.
Yep.
And then I on US, it's got to be Mee Chin or Chelsea Green, in my opinion. If not, you know, somebody like a main event name, I think it should be one of them, Jimmy.
I completely agree. So I actually posted on Twitter yesterday that I thought Natty should be the first women's intercontinental champion because of the lineage. You know, Bret Hart, two-time IC champion, Owen Hart, two-time IC champion, Davey Boy Smith, former champion. Ironically, the only one who didn't win it was your dad, Sean, Jim the Anvil Neidhart. But I feel like Natty should be the first one. And I had people on Twitter say to me, well, that's a bad pick because she's not on TV and she's not over. That's an easy story to tell. You can get her over in a week telling that story and utilizing that footage and bring Bret Hart out there if you want. You know what I mean? Like you can tell that story. I think Natty deserves it. I would make her the first Intercontinental Champion. And I also agree with you about Chelsea Green. Chelsea Green, I think, has been one of the unsung heroes of 2024 in WWE. I think she is everything they give
her. Incredible.
You know what she said one time? She did an interview. It might have been with Fightful. She did an interview where she said, capitalize on every minute of TV they give you. That's what she said. She's knocked it out of the park. And so I think Chelsea deserves the U.S. title on the other brand. Those would be my picks.
Happy Thanksgiving, Sean, and happy early Thursday. Jimmy, with Denise gone, will SRS tell us who is his new favorite, or will there be a contenders tournament? This person always asks me who my favorite is at Fightful. I'll say that my favorite is now Ibu, who is joining me every Monday
nice.
For the Fightful post show. Why is Tony Khan not threatened to sue talent refusing to work? I don't know if there's anybody refusing to work. That's the thing. Refusing to work. Tony Khan and AEW have had a long history of not using people for an extended period of time. That is one of my main criticisms of that company, is they just park people. And in many cases, like Rey Fénix and Penta, like, they were out there negotiating a deal elsewhere months before. We're not talking about like weeks ahead of their contract. We're talking about word that they had been negotiating deals well before. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's the case at all. Should Shinsuke beat Knight? I say yes. What about you guys? If they have re-upped him for a long time, let's give this new edition of LA or Shinsuke Nakamura a shot. What do you think, Jimmy?
So LA Knight was on my list today, and I want to ask your thoughts on it, and then we'll address Shinsuke. So Booker T on his Hall of Fame podcast recently, he said, seems like that star has dimmed a little bit regarding LA Knight. And I agree with Booker, but not because of anything LA Knight has done or hasn't done. I think it's because of his booking. Because if you look at who they've had him in the ring with, he did a program with Andrade and Carmelo. And with all due respect to those guys, they're not exactly the most over guys on the roster. He defended the title on SmackDown recently against Birdo, who's rarely on television, especially in a singles match. And Shinsuke has lost every major feud he's been in, seems like forever. And this is your next challenger. I think LA Knight's been handed a pile of shit creatively, and it's affected him. In terms of Shinsuke, you got to build him, Sean, because I feel like if Shinsuke beats LA Knight, you're just hurting LA Knight. Because Shinsuke's lost every major program he's had for at least the last year. So now, did you say that they re-up Shinsuke?
I mean, listen, that isn't for reporting. It wouldn't surprise me. Okay. I would believe that they have. Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas' boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
I like his look, what he's got with the face paint and everything. It's cool.
I asked WWE directly, and they have not responded.
Right. Okay. They got to build them because, again, you beat LA Knight when he hasn't been around and he keeps losing, and you're just going to hurt LA Knight.
Have you heard of Jade and Bianca losing the belts? I haven't. I mean, Jade seems to be out for a while. What I would do to babyface Jade is have them say, okay, well, you got to vacate the titles. And she's like, I'll defend them myself. And then
Bianca, you mean, right?
Bianca. Yes. Bianca.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
So tell us first what you've heard about Jade. So Fightful Select reported that the angle on TV was done to cover up a legitimate injury. Have you heard any more about that?
Yeah, it is. I don't know the severity. I know some people have reported months. I've asked. I have not been told. I've just been told it is a legit injury. We wish her the best. I love interviewing Jade. She was an honorary Lexingtonian, Jimmy. Do you know who her, I think, husband, Brandon Phillips, is?
Yeah, you've told me, like, baseball player. You told me.
Baseball legend. Player. Loved baseball so much, he bought a minor league team just to play for it here in Lexington.
Interesting.
It was fantastic. But wishing her the best, for sure.
Well, the one positive coming out of this is that they're going to do a whodunit story on television regarding who attacked her. And it seems like there's three obvious candidates. One is Charlotte Flair. I think one is Naomi, and the other is Bianca Belair. Who's your pick?
It's hard for me to go against Bianca on, like, anything.
Bianca, I think, would be... So Naomi, I saw Naomi was having fun online with people that said it was her. And she was kind of having fun with that online. And even Nia Jax was like, oh, yeah, it was definitely Naomi. It was definitely Naomi, which tells me that's not Naomi.
Yeah.
But, I think Bianca.
Well, I mean, listen, I think that in this, like, it would be enough. So here's why I said Bianca in that. It's hard for me to go against Bianca on anything, like, resembling a push. One, it takes Jade out for however long. She had the face off Bianca with Rhea, right? That's clearly a WrestleMania main event level thing, but Rhea is massively over here. Mm-hmm. We have seen it and been through it with the Bianca babyface run. Bianca as a heel, ooh, that'd be real good. That'd be real good. Now, I know that Street Profits, I believe it was, or last year, somebody said they wanted her to turn heel and she didn't want to, but heel Bianca versus babyface Rhea at WrestleMania after Bianca has attacked Jade. Oh, boy.
I'd be interested how Bianca would change her presentation as a heel. Because she's not going to go out there flipping her hair doing the dance. You know what I mean?
We've seen it a little bit before. I mean, we've seen it a little bit before. But
Interesting. We'll have to see where that one goes.
Yep. We got, think they'll announce Liv versus Io for Sunday night's or Saturday night's main event soon. I do think so. I do. Any news on Bandido and Hologram? Not Hologram. Bandido has been backstage recently. Our future Raw co-host, Ibu, actually broke that news on Twitter recently.
And Hologram's got new merch. Hologram's got new merch. Good for him.
Finally. Do you know the relationship between Triple H and Carlito? I have no insight on that. I will say I was incredibly impressed with the edit they put on the late edition of Raw. They have some very talented editors. You would have had no idea.
Yep.
And honestly, for everybody that said, like, any number of things, the way that they edited it was way funnier than the line. To just have Carlito standing there like that, like, in awe of them, was way better than what they actually did. We got Ray saying IWC over Punk Buck stuff. TK needs to act like a boss. Then he acts like a boss with Ricky, and the IWC says not like that. So that is something that I have realized with them scaling the venues, them getting a new TV deal, ways that talent are handled. I don't agree with a number of these things. I think they should have had their shit in order when CM Punk is there. I think they should have been running smaller, more intimate venues well before. I think they should use talent that is under contract, but for a lot of people, there's no win here, Jimmy. Like they're just going to complain no matter what.
Oh, yeah. It's not an easy job. Being a wrestling promoter is not an easy job. And, you know, how long have I said that that Tony, he's got such a full plate already with the soccer team and the football team, and adding this to it, and you see the guy on the sidelines with the clipboard with a match lineup on it. It's... You know, he puts in a lot of hours, man, and it's oftentimes a thankless job. So I don't envy his position at all. It's difficult. He has made a lot of missteps. And like I said, this Ricky Starks thing, for me, the only thing I kind of question is the timing of it. You know, he's done a lot of positive things too, but you can't please everybody. That's just how it is. Even us with Fightful, you can't please everybody, Sean, you know?
Jake says, happy 10th anniversary to the CM Punk appearance on Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling today.
Yeah.
I'm sure that pod didn't lead to some damaging domino effects. So, yeah, I'm a little bummed that it didn't blow up bigger because I mentioned the algorithm before. We go live so much and have so many interviews, the algorithm doesn't favor us. Last year, I tried a video to try to correct that, and I was so proud of it. It's a timeline of CM Punk returning to WWE. Our great editor, Rob Fee, helped produce that. And you can type in timeline CM Punk WWE Fightful or something like that. And it is like it's like a 40-minute video of how the Royal Rumble 2014 led to his return to the ring at Royal Rumble 2024, about how he had that concussion and staph infection. The whole domino effect happened. The Colt Cabana podcast happened. The lawsuits happened. The return to AEW happened. Then people went at him over his disintegrating relationship with Colt Cabana and how it all developed. A 10-year unfolding went down.
Hey, you know what's interesting is today is my daughter's 10th birthday. And when I listened to that podcast in the delivery room, not the delivery room, in the hospital room while my wife was going through a very long labor. And so I will always remember that podcast because that's the day my daughter was born. So how about that?
There you go. Just Mass says, to follow up, I feel like Shinsuke should cheat, steal the title from Knight, then possibly do an extended feud to potentially both benefit fixing their credibility. How do you feel about that one?
I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't like Shinsuke, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't believe he's actually had a match yet since he came back. He just jumped in LA Knight.
It'll be tonight or Friday. Friday, okay. He's having one.
So that's what they need to do. You need to feed this guy people. It's the whole Ryback thing, right? With Punk. Feed this guy people, have him get some wins under his belt, give him some legitimacy, and then you have the match. You don't just do a few attacks and then you have your match because Shinsuke needs to be built.
Ryan says this Ricky Stark situation is incredibly frustrating to me. It's petty to hold him off TV like they're doing. I dislike when a company holds talent that doesn't want to be there. Just let him go. If they were using him on TV, I would disagree with you. But they're not using him on TV, and they're pulling him from indies. So I'm like, what's really going on here? Like, what's the issue? Why won't they use him?
What do you think the reason is, Sean?
I don't know.
Cody's friendship?
No. Like, I know there was one top AEW talent that said, why were you at the Rumble?
Yes, he said that.
Why the fuck wouldn't he be at the Rumble? That's one of his best friends. Like, yep. Who cares?
And I want to say one thing on that, because I saw a lot of people online and even in the chat that were trying to use that as something against Ricky Starks. Oh, you should have been at the Royal Rumble. The only thing that I saw online regarding that was security surveillance footage with like a security camera. And you got to remember when Mercedes Moné, I still call her Sasha Banks sometimes, when Mercedes had her first big match in AEW, who was there to support her? Bayley and Naomi. Did anybody have a problem with that?
Rhea Ripley was backstage at AEW this summer.
Right, like, for Buddy, right. And no one cares about that, right?
TNA all the time. Steve Macklin, I just interviewed him, was at AEW this weekend. Like,
right.
Come on, man.
And again, Starks wasn't doing any WWE productions with Cody. The security footage caught him.
Do you think Jimmy gave me shit when I rolled up to Busted Open's live show to say hi to Dave LaGreca? He wasn't hitting me up like, you can't do that. Does AEW start on Max next week? FTR tweet hinted it. Not that I'm aware of. It starts in January. We've got they released even more Dominic merch today. Any update when Solo Live merch is coming? Listen, I've asked and I just keep being told soon. I just don't know when soon is. And I keep pressing on it. So
What do you think of Dom being listed number one? I believe it was wrestlers under 30, ESPN, number one.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
It was designed to get us to click on it and to talk about it. That's what I think of it.
Right. Although 2024 has been a hell of a year for him. He's had an amazing year. So good for him. And he's a workhorse too.
Let's get rid of that one. People saying TK is petty. Forget Triple H called Will Ospreay lazy when he didn't sign and Vince when he got moved from the Pepsi to Staples Center. So yeah, when I see people that say, well, he's not equipped to be in this role because he's so petty, I'm like, guys, what are we talking about here? Like, do I agree with what he's doing? Not really, but I also understand that he's saying if somebody invokes my father's name, sorry, I'm not going to help them. Why would I? I get that. But like what we're talking about, Vince McMahon, who slapped papers out of reporters' hands and tried to fight people like that. Like, come on now. This is that. Come on. Jay Hudson says, at what point do we hold Tony Khan to the same accountability as Vince McMahon refusing to grant talent or releases the talent who want to leave? Wrestlers deserve freedom to pursue new opportunities. Why the double standard? Well, listen, we're talking about unique situations in every situation. With Ricky Starks, I think he should have been let go. I think if they weren't going to use him.
He's never requested his release, though, has he? At least not publicly.
No, he requested they not pick up his option. Same thing happened with Josh Alexander last year, and then TNA did. Mm-hmm. But if they have that contractual obligation, I mean, I think Deonna also requested that of TNA, and they still did. Mm-hmm. So this is not a Tony Khan, Vince McMahon thing. It happens all over the place. The same accountability, well, it depends on every situation. If you're not being used on TV, completely agree. If it seems like a petty thing, sure. Mm. But also, like, what good are contracts if at any point a talent can just say, well, I want to go, and then they go? Like, what is the point of signing them to said contract if they're doing that? So I am not of the belief that everybody that asks for their release should be able to get it. But if you are not going to use them and they want it, then just let them go.
I agree. And especially now after everything that's come out with Ricky over the last 24 hours and the whole, you know, scrapping him from GCW shows and everything, after all of that, if they're not going to put him on TV, I would cut him loose 100%.
Daniel Zambrano says, thanks for the great content. Sean, I feel like the Stephanie Vecchier situation burned Tony, and he's worried about elevating someone and them using that to go over to WWE in the optics of him being a rube. Well, I mean, this Ricky situation started to unfold well before the Stephanie Vecchier situation did. We had reported that likely whenever they do Forbidden Door again or Wrestle Dynasty, there will be like some provision saying like, listen, you're going to have to agree to not pop up on WWE immediately if this happens, or otherwise, sorry, we can't use you. I would be shocked if that didn't happen. But I mean, this Ricky situation, the Miro situation, these were all happening before that, Jimmy. The Penta and Phoenix situations. Mm-hmm. Now I could definitely see where the Stephanie Vecchier thing burned him a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely a case by case thing. Andrade is another one that comes to mind where, you know, weren't him and Sammy both told don't touch each other, and then Andrade went and attacked him
immediately after.
And he did it on purpose because he wanted out. They should have just cut him loose. Like in situations like that, cut these guys loose. I understand how Tony was reluctant about Punk because Punk was their biggest star. So I understand, but with all due respect to these other guys, they're not, or they weren't. So I, like I said, I agree with the notion that it comes off petty and spiteful. But I also agree in the case of the GCW thing, why Tony pulled those appearances. I see both sides of that, but if you're not going to use them, let them go.
Daniel Zambrano says, been watching without paying for too long. So here's another one. Thank you so much, Daniel. Says, would have loved to see Buddy instead of Brody in the Continental Classic and someone new instead of Briscoe. I think Briscoe's is a redemption story, Daniel, to show that he went from, man, it was kind of sad how he explained it. And he said, the reason I'm losing so much is because I'm basically in my rookie year as a singles wrestler. And I was like, damn, that's a good explanation. But I think it's to show his growth. I love Brody. I do. But I would have rather seen Buddy, especially after the reaction that he got at Full Gear. I would have really liked to have seen that. Just Ricardo says NXT heel Bianca ruled. She really did. What's the scoop about Grand Slam Australia? Okay, Bill, we will talk about this right after we hear from our great partners at Bet Online.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best, from cutting edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time.
betonline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
We had our 15th out of 15 underdog lock pick on FightfulSelect.com. The best $5 a month or $54 a year in the business. We started our partnership with BetOnline in late December last year. And since then, we have given you 15 picks that we considered underdog lock picks, and every single one of them hit this year. Wow. Listen, I'm hoping to work with BetOnline into the future, but listen, man, if they don't re-up us, I'm going to get that money somehow. I'm going to get that money back somehow. BetOnline, check them out at BetOnline.ag. The Australia show. Jimmy, that was a very, very bold attempt anyway to do a stadium that big. I couldn't believe it when they did it.
Yeah.
Especially considering, like, listen, WWE did a great crowd there, but if you look at the stadium from the live shots, there were gigantic parts of it tarped off. Even WWE, as hot of a ticket as they are, couldn't do quite what they had anticipated. I didn't think there was any way AEW was doing a big stadium without a real foothold. Plus, Shaza lives there, so nobody, or was born there, nobody wants to go there. They moved to a much smaller 13,500 capacity, much better for them.
Yeah, they definitely wanted to piggyback off the WWE show. There's no question, because WWE still did like 50,000 attendance for that show. I think it was Elimination Chamber. So there's no doubt AEW was looking to try to keep up, you know, and to show their international popularity. And it was not a great move for them. I'm sure that having to switch to a smaller arena is probably not the kind of optics that Tony wants. But it is what it is, man. It is what it is. I've heard that it might be a Max special. Have you heard that?
So when I first was getting the news about this, it was hinted to me that it could be, because Max has the ability to do that. But as far as running a pay-per-view and charging full price, they're like, that doesn't necessarily work. I can tell you, working with Anna Bauert for as many years as I did, that is the worst time zone to work with.
Right.
Like that. Like it is the worst. That in Japan is pretty rough. But right. Ryan says, what are your thoughts on the online narrative that Triple H is a racist booker? Do you think there are talent of color in WWE that feel similar? I don't feel that way. I don't feel that way whatsoever.
I'm not sure where that comes from. It's because they don't have black champions.
I mean, a lot of people say because they don't have black singles wrestlers on PLEs, and they did just have Carmelo Hayes. I just don't agree with that. I understand there are things in Triple H's past, like the Nation skit and the Booker T angle, where people can easily draw that conclusion. But I really honestly feel like Triple H books people that he thinks are going to draw for him. I think that's the most important thing to him.
And Hunter was the talent during the Nation skit. He wasn't the booker.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, you can say, I ain't doing that shit.
Fair. That's fair. Well, I will say this, and I'm not talking about the scrum. I'm talking about when Bobby Lashley did another interview after leaving WWE. And I apologize, I don't remember what podcast it was, but he did an interview where he was really cool about, he said him and Hunter, he said he just wasn't a Hunter guy. Right. Yeah. And I'm paraphrasing what Lashley said, but he basically said, I was a Vince guy. I wasn't a Hunter guy. Didn't really know Hunter that well. And he seemed to have no ill will about the fact that when Hunter took over, Lashley wasn't really utilized to his full potential. He just wasn't a Hunter guy. And that's all I've ever thought about it. I never looked at it. Lashley as one example, I never looked at it like, oh, he's not booking Lashley well because he's black. I never thought of it like that. I just thought Hunter's got his guys. Like Johnny Gargano is always going to get opportunity under Triple H.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is, man. It's almost like a regular company where the old guard leaves, the new guard comes in, and they have their people. That's just how it is.
We got a Humper Chat from humperchats.com saying, don't be hating on Portsmouth, Ohio, Sean. That's where I'm from. I just ordered your book from Amazon, Jimmy. I truly loathe Portsmouth, Ohio. I hate to tell you this, friend, but I cannot stand that place. In fact, I remember when I wrestled there, my fight team and I were doing like the MMA team gimmick, because that's how everybody knew us. It's not something we could like hide. And the babyface took my mouth guard out and threw it in the crowd. And the referee goes, "Do you want your mouth guard back?" And I just looked out there and said, "No, nobody there has teeth anyway. No, nobody out here has teeth anyway."
Nice, nice.
New Lack City says, "What are the C2 matches?" I will say this. We did do that show for a wonderful autism charity, the Southern Ohio Autism Project, that were wonderful to work with. So if you are from that area, and I assume they're still around, please support them. They were incredible. New Lack City, our good friend, who I see over on Blue Sky all the time, says, "What are the C2 matches you're most looking forward to? Who do you think should win? Happy holidays." Don't care me saying happy holidays offends anybody. I think Okada should win and will win. He is like the round robin tournament guy. And being a G1 winner repeatedly, I think that's who should win. How about you, Jimmy?
I agree on Okada, but I also think that it feels like AEW has really wanted to elevate Daniel Garcia. He's been the one guy since he re-signed that it feels like AEW wants to make him a big star. And so I could see him getting shine in the tournament as well. So I see Garcia or Okada.
I want to see Shelton Benjamin versus Kyle Fletcher very badly.
Kyle Fletcher is another one. He's another one that, I mean, he just beat Will Ospreay clean, right? Yeah. So I would even put him in there, but I put Garcia ahead of him in terms of who AEW seems to be looking at as a focal point.
Jimmy, if you have to hit the bricks in a few moments, let me know, because we do have a bunch of super chats, humper chats. Matt says, "Jimmy SRS, hope all is well with the benefit of picking up Ricky Stark's auction year or adding injury time if they aren't going to use him. Why not have those people put people over on the way out instead of having them sit at home? Buddy, that is a question I have asked about 100,000 times. I don't have an answer to that. I think they should."
It's exactly what I said earlier. Yeah, utilize them to elevate other people. Why not?
Michael M. says, "Have you seen the loaded lineup and performers for WrestleCade this year? What's the match you're most looking forward to for WrestleCade?" Listen, man, WrestleCade is a must visit for me every year. Jimmy knows when he gets that expense bill. But I either make the 6-hour drive, or I make the flight and then the drive there. But they've got TNA on Friday. I'm very excited for Macklin versus Josh Alexander. It was an incredible, incredible match the first time around. So I'm very excited for that one. New Lack City says, "Jimmy, love the book. Just got it this week."
Appreciate it.
"Why does GCW seem to have an issue with AEW? And to me, it looks like AEW has been more than helpful with lending them their talent." I don't think GCW has a problem with them. I think Effie just said something that bit them. And I don't even think it's something he shouldn't have said. I would not have evoked his Tony Khan's father's name. If the company that primarily pays my bills, like, for example, I am not going to go and say something about the father of someone who works for Nord or Bet Online. You know what I mean? I wouldn't do that.
I mean, I also think that saying AEW, no buzz, no draw, when you utilize your talent, probably not something that you wanted to say, and saying, you know, we can't run on a $40 million. I mean, all of that stuff that he shouldn't have said. But like I said, I don't think he pre-planned it. I think he was just voicing his frustration about the Hammerstein Ballroom thing. I think that's all it was.
"Need Tony to squabble up with Effie on pay-per-view. Who do I see in the final for the C2? I see Ospreay and I see Okada." I think that's
a big matchup.
"Update on ROH. Andrew thinks the TV deal is near." I think it's getting there. Andrew, buddy, Andrew has that insight on TV deals and execs. If you're not checking out Beyond the Bell every Tuesday morning on Fightful with Andrew and Rich, you're missing out, friends.
Can you give me an idea of what a TV deal for Ring of Honor would look like? Like, are they getting paid money for Ring of Honor?
If they could get guaranteed paid money, guaranteed money, anything.
I don't know why a TV outlet would want to give you guaranteed money for Ring of Honor. I don't know. If they could do a rev share deal, like a split, I can understand that. But Ring of Honor's got no value right now, really. Not a lot.
Before we go, BL says, "What is Jimmy's side on how he found and hired Sean? Did you interview him, meet him one-on-one prior to the hire?"
I found him through a Google search. I was looking for somebody that knew MMA and pro wrestling, somebody who had done podcasting. I narrowed it down to, I think, 6 people. Sean knows at least one of the names that I talked to. And we did a phone call, and I thought Sean was a good dude. And if I'm being very honest, his asking price was very conservative at the time, not now, at the time. And so,
listen, it's conservative for what I drive right now. I'll tell you that much.
Well, we went ahead and it's worked out really well. But yeah, I and Sean knows this. You were with Wrestling Inc. at the time. I never followed them, with all due respect. Didn't know who Sean was because I didn't really watch their podcast. But you were a good guy on the phone, and things have worked out great.
So. Fun fact, I would have never taken that call had Wrestling Inc. agreed to keep me on, forget this, $18,000 a year. That's what they said no to, and that's what made me go, okay, I'm looking elsewhere. So,
man, yeah, I'm not going to say what Sean makes, but it's a little bit more than that. A little bit more.
It should be even more, honestly. Antonio says Tony's in a lose-lose situation. If you book people to lose on their way out, people would complain he was burying talent.
Yeah,
they would. They for sure would.
Yeah, but you don't worry about it. You don't worry about that. You just go about your business.
Any chances Vince comes back as Booker to WWE now that he'll probably receive a pardon? I would say a 1% or less chance, just because I'll never rule anything out.
I'll give it zero.
Okay. Jimmy gives it zero. I give it less than 1% chance. Yeah. WWE is all too happy to get rid of him.
He doesn't have the voting power anymore. And I think sometimes people still don't understand this, but he doesn't have the voting power. There is no chance that he's going to be able to get the votes from the current board to have anything to do with that company. So no, it's not going to happen.
Do you think we will see Cody or Chelsea at Survivor Series? Chelsea is supposed to be in town for that show.
She's doing a meet and greet and stuff. I saw that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I know this because Deonna Purrazzo is headed there for a girls' weekend with Chelsea Gray and Macklin.
That's nice.
AW Grand Slam Australia seems like a big marketing misstep. Who is to blame most for trying to run a stadium AW couldn't reasonably fill? Whoever's idea it was to run that stadium, that's who. I don't know who that person is, but whoever said, yep, let's do that, and then whoever said, yeah, that's a good idea, let's do that, because there was no way it was going to happen, all due respect to AEW. I think they'll do great next year in Dallas. Just thought Australia, what the hell?
Define great.
I think they'll do over 50,000 at AT&T Stadium.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. We got a couple more. I am crushed as updates on Eddie Kingston. There were some that were hoping that he would be backstage this weekend. I don't know if he was, but and they were hoping he'd pop up at some indies because he was kind of local, but listen, man, he had a major knee injury. It was really bad, so he's probably going to miss several more months. He says, love Fightful, watch GPW. I love Deadlock Pro and what they do and their environment, their community. He says, what do you think of the Death Rider angle? Love the idea. Doesn't seem like they're standing on anything they said in the beginning. Well, the weirdest thing was seizing the Superstation. Then they didn't seize the Superstation. It was very strange. I think there needs to be a little more anti-everything that stands for AEW. I feel like that segment did them a disservice.
So far, it reminds me of WWE's take on WCW. That's what it reminds me so far, where they didn't have Goldberg and they didn't have Sting and they didn't have all these guys. And now you have Moxley's group. They've, you know, when they first came back, they had like mid-card guys waiting for him backstage. It hasn't hit for me. It hasn't hit. I didn't really understand Jay White. He goes out there and technically he helps Moxley and then they lay him out anyway. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. So far, it hasn't hit for me. And we'll see. We'll see where it goes. I mean, Darby Allin's not a threat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They need more. We'll see where it goes. I have to jet, Sean. So enjoy the rest of your day. And my American friends and Sean, happy Thanksgiving.
We got one more super chat. I'll boot Jimmy the hell off of here. And guys, please check out our sponsors and FightfulSelect.com. I'm going to have more news on the Hardy Boys contracts. They had not been signed prior to this week. We've got a lot of details on that. We've got, gosh, what else do we have? I think we have Raw and SmackDown, or we have Raw backstage news coming to Fightful Select as well. Bobby says, would you agree that the Young Bucks public perception suffered the most from the original brawl out? If so, why do you think it suffered more than the likes of Punk as it stands in the present day? Because I think a lot of the people that sided with Punk in that specific situation thought it perpetuated the idea that, one, talent shouldn't be EVPs, that, two, AEW ran a sloppy shop, and, three, that Punk stood on business, so to speak. And it was, you know, the story is Punk and Ace Steel fighting, like, what, two or three or four guys? So I think that's why. The Young Bucks, I don't think, really lost any fans in that. People who were going to dislike them already probably did, but the whole situation is a mess in general. Like, everybody should have been in a room talking about that, whether it be before, after, whatever. Handled poorly. Colt Cabana, CM Punk, the Young Bucks, Hangman Page, Punk, Ace Steel, everybody should have been in a room, Tony Khan, talking about this and hashing it out. And that wasn't done. MASP says, if Penta has a singles run in WWE, he could be a good addition to SmackDown's U.S. title picture. Yes. And you got to expect him to feud with Rey Mysterio. Like, the most legendary lucha, arguably in American wrestling history, ever, feuding with one of the more intimidating looking ones to ever hit American TV in Penta. And if you haven't seen how Penta was booked in early Lucha Underground, man, he was something special. He was something special. Guys, I am back tonight for the post-AEW show. Please send in your super chats, humper chats. You can get humper chats in right now for the show later. If you like this show, I do a Q&A every week on Fightful Select on the Fightful Report. I am doing Select Answers articles every day on Fightful Select almost. I am in the Discord answering your questions all the time. I want to say thank you all so much. Till next time, we're out.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.